You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Oh, tell me where you are located.
I am in San Diego, California.
Oh my goodness. So I was just there, goodness, like November, mm-hmm. October, November. Mm-hmm. It was so fantastic. I'd been there before, but this was my first trip in some time. And it's just that one of those places where you're like, isn't this what heaven is going to be like? Right? Yeah. Like, it's just so like, I'm sure it's not sunny and beautiful every single day, but it certainly seems as though the majority of the time it is. And so
that's 90% of the time, that is what it is. And that's why I love it here, because you know how our environment can affect our mood.
For sure.
Yeah. So yes. San Diego, you wake up, it's sunny. You have no business being depressed.
If you are, then you got bigger problems, yeah, right?
Because I lived in Brooklyn as well. And it was, you know, all the skyscraper, overcrowded, all the people. Yes. And in winter is like half the year in my mind. And so, right. And so it was hard to like elevate your spirit. It was hard for me to be preppy when the outside looks so gloomy.
I 100% agree with that. And yeah. So anyway, I'm very much with you. It's sunny here. I'm in Oklahoma, in a suburb of Oklahoma City, and it's sunny today. So that's positive. That always makes me happy.
Yeah, that's good. Oklahoma is really nice. I was reading that on your bio. Yeah. You went to the Christian University there.
I did. Yeah, I didn't ever honestly think that I would live and raise a family in Oklahoma. I was born in Florida. And then our family moved to a southern part of Idaho when I was in like the first grade. And we just ended up, like, I grew up in Idaho. I grew up like playing outside and hiking and snow skiing like multiple times a week and camping and fishing and like all the things. And I knew that I wanted to attend a Christian university, and there were only so many that I was looking into. And Oklahoma Christian had a really solid communications and PR program. So I traveled down here, visited it, fell in love with it, and decided to move here, not knowing a soul. Got married in college, and my husband is from the Northwest also. He grew up in Portland, Oregon, and then lived also in Central Washington State. And so we both were like, yeah, we're going to move back to the Northwest after we graduate. Mm-hmm. But the kind of beautiful thing about Oklahoma is it's a wonderful place to raise a family. It's so community oriented, and the business community is so tight. Like, it's the smallest big city you'll ever be a part of. Everybody knows everybody, which can sometimes not be a good thing, but most of the time it's a really good thing.
It's good for business.
Oh my goodness. It's so good. Like, my network is huge. Just because I've been here long enough now and been building that network. And so now we can't even imagine not living here, even though we go back to the Northwest, you know, every summer or so to visit my husband's family. And we're always like, oh, why did we leave here? But, you know, like, it's, we say that because the environment is so beautiful. The trees and the mountains and, you know, the outdoorsiness of the Northwest is just unparalleled. So anyway,
you are very well connected too. Small city or not, you are your accolades. You have done so much. You mean you've been a TEDx presenter.
Yes,
you have been a Junior League of Oklahoma Leadership Conference. You've done everything. So I know what you mean when you say you're well connected, because you are a counsel. You are part of so many different chairs.
Yes, I am. And I'm, you know, obviously very humbled to be a part of a lot of those organizations, but they really have made me who I am. I just think that life is so much bigger than you, than me, and that we are called to give back and to serve. And, you know, for me growing up, even one of my most esteemed models is my mother, and she always taught me, you know, in those moments of growing up in middle school and high school when things are rough and you feel like nobody likes you and, you know, you're down in the dumps. And she's like, snap out of it, sister. Like, you need to be serving other people. Mm. Like, give back, because that will every single time make you feel better about yourself and your circumstances. But you'll in turn be helping those around you. And so, you know, that is a motto that I continue to live by and that I impress upon my children as well.
Yeah. Zig Ziglar has a great quote. He says, help enough people get what they want, you will get what you want.
Oh, absolutely. So, oh, it's so true. Yeah.
it's that servanthood, and you are a servant leader by nature, by heart, because we're going to talk about calm waters and what you do. It is really like very touching to hear how you found this niche, how you found this problem that you provided a solution for. And and so I want to briefly tell everyone who I am talking to, because I didn't get to do an intro. This is Erin Engelke, and she is the executive director of Calm Waters, a nonprofit in Oklahoma City that serves children and families who have experienced loss due to death, divorce, or another significant loss, providing free support groups and other services to these children. Prior to Calm Waters, Erin serves, as we were talking earlier, in fundraising and public relations role for Sunbeam Family Services, Feed the Children, World Neighbors, and MidFirst Bank. She has traveled extensively around the world, including Guatemala, Albania, Peru, and has a heart of seeing children and families thrive no matter where they live. Erin, please tell us about Calm Waters, because it's really a touching subject and so needed, because the children go unnoticed during this time, because a lot of time parents, especially when it's a loss in the family due to like a death, parents feel they want to protect the kids by not sharing what's happening, or they're too young to know what's happening. And then kids all 2 years later, it's like, oh, where's my cousin? Where's my uncle? What happened? Right. He just disappeared. And so tell us about the support you provide.
Yeah, Calm Waters is truly such a special, special place, and a place that is safe for all the families who come to us, the children, the adults, anybody who's been affected by a loss. And it becomes that safe place because we create community, and there's healing that comes through community, especially when you've been through something very traumatic. And a lot of our families tell us that loss is so isolating. They feel very alone. And they often feel like they're the only ones that have experienced this or feel these feelings. And we know that that's not the fact. I mean, that's not the truth, that there's so many others that have gone through similar situations. And so we offer free support groups for death and divorce, and we offer them at our center. So these are all groups that are, our families are divided out by age. So the kiddos are divided out by their developmental age. All of our curriculum is written by our in-house therapists. It's all research-based, centered around grief theory. And the beautiful thing is that for the families that come to our center, they develop coping skills and hope for the future. We cannot, obviously, eliminate the loss, take away all of their grief, but what we can do is help them see that there is a future, and that they can get through this, and that they don't have to do it alone.
Mm-hmm. Because it, as you said, it is isolating.
Extremely.
It's hard to talk about it. Do you go through is it 7 steps of grieving, or is it 5 now? It is.
Yeah. Research shows that it's 5 stages of grief, but we actually feel that there's not just like one stage after another, because we liken it to like waves, right? Like, you will experience different emotions over the course of your loss that don't follow a certain pattern. So you could feel sad one day, but then you could feel anger the next day, but then revert back to the sadness or guilt. I mean, there's a lot of feelings that go along with grief, and everybody experiences it differently. And so we allow our families to go through that grief journey on their, you know, on their own path, on their own timeline, so they can join our groups whenever is convenient for them. And we often find that when people pick up the phone and call us, they're ready. Like it is, it's at a breaking point. The number of phone calls that we receive in a given week is just astounding. And you know, these stories are just heartbreaking. And, you know, it's everything from, I had a mom call just a couple weeks ago and she was just in tears and she said, people have been telling me I need to call you and I just haven't. She said, I cannot get out of bed anymore. She said, I lost my teenage son and I cannot get out of bed. I am so depressed. And I said, I am so glad that you called because we can help. And here's how we're going to do that. It's a very simple process. And I walk them through that. But she is one of millions, right? Because grief does not discriminate. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter where you come from, color of your hair. Like it literally doesn't matter. We all are going to go through loss at some point in our lives. And some, you know, can cope with that better than others. But for those that need the extra support, we are here.
When they call from the onset on the phone call, you said it varies for everyone. How long does it mm-hmm. take them? How long is the program that you take them through? Or can they stay however long they want?
They can stay as long as they need. So our curriculum is generally 8 weeks. So we cover a different topic every single night of group. So our families come every other week for an hour. And so every night that they come, we're covering a different discussion topic, but they can continue to come because the curriculum changes, right? Like we're continually following research and modifying and growing and developing our curriculum. So it is not, we generally say that it's ideal for families to stay with us at least 4 months, but it is not uncommon for us to have families that stay with us for 6, 8, 9, sometimes up to a year. And some will then take a break, right? They feel like they've got what they need for now. But then life continues and kids get older. And as they develop and grow, that loss starts to affect them in different ways. So they will even come back if they find that they're needing those additional supports again.
And how is it different for kids, right? Because,
So for kiddos, they feel so much in their little bodies and they don't often know what it is they're even feeling. And so at our center, we have rooms that are dedicated to play, to movement, to art, because we find that for children, they have to process their emotion and their grief in different ways. And so sometimes words are too hard, right? But sometimes they can draw or paint or express themselves in ways that they couldn't otherwise. They can't always put a word, you know, to attach to that feeling. We also find that for a lot of kiddos, their emotion and their loss manifests in physical ailments. So like tummy aches, eye twitches, and even adults experience this, right? If we get stressed or have anxiety, our tummies hurt. And so it's no different in a child. And we'll often have parents that'll call and say, I think there's something wrong with my child. And I've taken them to the doctor and they can't find an answer. And we had one little boy that had a major eye twitch after a significant loss in his life. And he started coming to our group. And within a matter of weeks, his mom said, he doesn't have an eye twitch anymore.
Being able to pinpoint to address it right away.
Yep.
I can see that. So there's play therapy with the kids because it's a lot easier for them to express themselves through art, through playing, through socializing with other kids. I can see the beauty of that. And sometimes do you see they act out in school?
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. Yes. In fact, because of that, we offer groups in schools as well. So we partner with 11 school districts across the Metro Oklahoma City area and provide free support groups to children who've experienced a loss. And so they get to step out of class. They're identified generally by the school counselors. The parents give permission for them to be a part of our group. And this is, again, one of those safe spaces where they get to be with other kids that generally they didn't know also have been through a loss. Maybe, oh, I didn't know your parents were divorced too, or I didn't know your dad died. And so creating that community for them, because often in the classroom, they're again dealing with all this flood of emotion, and it will come out in behavioral issues because they don't know what else to do with their emotions. And when they are able to step out of the classroom to be able to process that, to learn and develop healthy coping skills, and they can go back into the classroom and be have peace and calm to be able to actually focus on what is important and learning and growing and being a normal, healthy kid.
Yeah, and being present because, I mean, it's imagine trauma as an adult and then put that on a little kid, and it's hard. It's hard to even see a future.
It is. And for these, you know, parents, they're if they have experienced the loss as well, they're struggling to make sense of it for themselves and often don't even know how to support their little one.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, often talk in groups with the parents about how you can communicate with your child, about how important it is to allow them the freedom to talk about the hard things. You know, I think as adults, we try to soften everything. So we even use language like, oh, we lost grandma last night. Mm-hmm. Well, to a child, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, let's go find her. Where is she? Right?
Right.
We need to shift our language even when it comes to death and grief to be more specific and literal, because children are very literal. And we perceive as adults that that's so harsh, right? To say like grandma died, that sounds really harsh, but it's the truth and the reality. And it is actually much more healing for the child to know the truth. Obviously as it's developmentally appropriate, right? Mm-hmm. Especially depending on how the person has died. We have a significant number of families that come to us because they've lost someone to suicide. A lot of children have lost parents to suicide. And so we do a lot of consultation with our families about how to communicate that with their child, how they themselves can process that emotion. So it's a very complex thing.
Yeah.
All of this is.
Yeah, even if they come to you just to find the language.
Exactly. Oh, and that's, we absolutely have people that do that. Sometimes they're not ready for a support group or they're not ready for therapy or counseling. And so we will just provide consultation to say, let's talk this over. Let me give you some guidance on how to communicate this to your family, maybe how you move forward, how you handle the holidays now that they're not, you know, in your life any longer, et cetera.
You are, Erin, in the business of restoring hope.
Yes.
That is truly the calling that I'm hearing from you. Now, I know you are big and persistent in the pursuit, giving others hope. Tell us a little bit about what that is and how it manifests.
Yeah. So are you specifically referring to Calm Waters or Cross My Life?
Lay it on us. give us both.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously at Calm Waters, that's like our biggest thing. There's something called the Hope Scale. Mm-hmm. And we really strive to help our families move through that hope scale, because if people feel like there's hope, then they have the energy and the motivation to get up every day and do the next thing.
Yeah.
And certainly with grief, there doesn't feel like there's a lot of hope. If you've lost, you know, your spouse, your husband, your wife, your child, you feel absolutely hopeless. Like, I cannot cope with this. And so it is absolutely paramount in all of our, we do pre and post surveys with our families that we're testing that hope scale.
Yeah.
Yep. Super important to us. And on a personal level, I am a strong advocate for helping other working moms. I'm a working mom, obviously. I have three little, not little anymore, but I have three kiddos. And I just remember a time when my children were very little and I felt very alone as a working mom, felt that pull, that guilt, right? Like, am I doing enough for them because I'm working? And so I have a personal passion to instill hope and empower other women to recognize that they need to follow their dreams and to not allow others to dictate what their fulfilled life should look like. There's a lot of, you know, just talk all the time about work-life balance and how do we achieve that? And people just wear themselves out trying to achieve that balance. And in my perspective is that balance just doesn't exist. That's perfection. And that's not life. That's not real, but you can live a fulfilled life. And the reasons that we often feel out of balance is because we're doing the things that don't fulfill us. And so finding a way to be real with yourself about what you've said yes to and what you need to say no to more. And identifying what are my priorities and then aligning all of what you do in life, at work, at home, in your community, in your spare time, all aligns to those priorities. And you will feel more, quote unquote, balanced or fulfilled in your life.
Yeah, I like how you tied having a balanced life with having a purpose, living a fulfilled life. That's the that's as close you get to it, the closest you'll get to it.
Right.
Otherwise, it's a lofty goal. And I want to point out, I read a book called The One Thing by Keller, and he talks about there is no such a thing as a balanced life.
There is
a counterbalance. You got to drop one and pick one up and maybe come back for it later, but you can't really juggle too many things all at once and then have that great relationships, great work, business thriving, and have time for your kids and family and, you know, travel and do all that. It's impossible. There's a time to work. There's a time for family. There's a time to play with your kids. There's a time to travel. It's that counterbalance. You put one down and you pick up the other.
That's right. And I think that we have to be honest with ourselves about seasons of life too. You know, like when your kids are little, that's a season of life where you are very like physically in the moment all the time. Like your children need so much of you. And to then, you know, feel guilt or, you know, remorse the fact that, oh, I can't go on all these trips that I want to go on, or I can't be as involved in the community as I want to be. It's a season of life. Yeah. That doesn't mean that you will never be able to do those things. But you know, we should never, ever, ever wish our life away, wish our children's time away. Like, you need to find fulfillment in the moments that you've been given now. And if you're not happy with those moments, then adjust them, right? Mm-hmm. Again, say no to the things that are not fulfilling you and say yes to the things that will.
Is that how you help entrepreneurs and moms find clarity?
Yes. I speak often on this very topic. It's, as you can well imagine, a lot of moms are hungry for this because they want to feel like they're doing a good job. Every mom, every woman, everybody, honestly, wants to feel like they're doing enough and in life, in work, in at home, you know, with their marriages, et cetera. And honestly, we need more people in our lives to build us up. I think as a society, when we hear so much bad in the news all the time, and often on social media, we feel that constant pull for perfection. We think, oh, everybody else's lives are so much better than mine. And we need to surround ourselves with more of that support system, almost exactly like what I do at Calm Waters, those support groups, of other people like you to say, no, you're killing it. Like, you've got this. And, or if not, have the reality of a friend who can say, I think maybe you're doing too much in this area, you know? And that just takes building those relationships and trusting each other. But I lead a team of women. I have almost always led teams of women. I've had some men too, but women are so hard on themselves and they're so hard on each other. And it really just gets me kind of hot and bothered, to be honest with you, because we should be our best advocates.
Right.
Yeah. We should be our biggest cheerleaders for each other. And, you know, certainly for my team at Calm Waters, I tell them all the time, I can only be a success if you are a success. So my priority is to make you a success first. And so I lean into them. I ask, what are your personal and professional goals? I want you to have a fulfilled life, because the happier you are, the more joy-filled you are at home, the more productive and disciplined and motivated and successful you will be for Calm Waters and for our families.
And if we think about the bigger picture, the more value you will add.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. Yes.
The more you will contribute, and it's a win-win for everyone.
It is. It absolutely is.
Erin, how do you get up, dress up, and show up? Tell us about your morning routine.
I love to start my day with a run. I am a runner, and I find that even though sometimes it's really hard to get up in the morning because I'm just wiped out, I always lay in bed and I think, I know if I just get up and do the thing, I will feel so much more energized and ready to start my day. It's almost like that sense of immediate accomplishment. Mm-hmm. Like, I've done this. I can do anything the rest of the day. And so I typically, get my run in and get ready for the day. I love to watch the morning news, or I listen to a lot of podcasts. I typically take my youngest daughter to school in the morning. So that is always such a pleasure for me. I love getting to spend time with her, quality time with her. I think it's like getting, for me, it's not even just about the morning routine. It's about preparing yourself the night before. So I make sure everything is in place. I don't want to be frantic in the morning. Mm-hmm. Your days are already frantic enough. And so I make sure lunches are packed, dinner is planned, the kitchen's clean, and some of those things sound like a lot, but if you just build them into your routine and involve your children in those, then it's not so overwhelming. And if it makes your next day more, simpler, then it's going to allow your day to be even more productive and positive.
Absolutely. The morning routine has morphed into starting it the night before. Nightly routine to set you up for success in the morning.
Absolutely.
It's crucial. Yep. Because that's, if we get into willpower, because willpower is not at our will, it decreases over the day, because we're making big decisions in the morning and sometimes minute decisions too, like what to eat. I should pack up my lunch. What am I going to wear today? Because you're ready for your run, but your sneakers are not ready. Your gym clothes are not ready.
Exactly.
So you got to go through your drawers and find out what to wear. How cold is it?
right. And I lay all of that out the night before.
There you go.
My shoes, my workout bottle, my running clothes, my clothes for work are picked out. Everything is ready, because I just want to be able to get up and go.
Yeah. So when you wake up and thinking, should I do this? Should I not do this? And then the thought that resonated, you said, if I don't do this now, my day won't be as productive. I will not have the energy I need to do to work 10 hours that I need to put in today. And after that thought, then you're like, all right, I just got to step into my shoes. I just got to put on my long johns. The decision is made for you. It's easier now because you don't give yourself a minute to catch up to what's happening.
That's
By the time your brain catches up, you're already at mile one.
Right. Well, and not only that, but we need to make commitments to ourselves.
And keep them. Yeah.
And keep them. Yeah. You don't want to disappoint yourself. So if you, the night before say, I really want to run 4.5 miles tomorrow morning, I'm going to do that. When you wake up in the morning, you're like, hey, I made a commitment to myself. I'm going to be disciplined and I'm going to show up.
Mm-hmm. You're going to dress up and show up.
That's right.
I love that. You're a runner. I ran. Have you done marathons?
I have. Yes. Half marathons. I've not ever done the full. I'm a halfer. So.
Very nice. Yeah, I did. I ran in 2016 and 2017, some 2018 too. And I've done over 20 races.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
I just went berserk. I was like, oh, so the run is high. You just get so into it.
You do. I know. It's very fun. It's definitely addicting. No question.
Oh yeah. So I like your morning routine. You get the exercising and get the blood flow going, but you also are preparing the night before, because you don't want to waste your willpower on small decisions in the morning, or give yourself any reason to not do it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause the last thing you want is to start your morning out frustrated,
right?
Stressed out, overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Cause that has such a trickle effect, right? Then that just trickles into every other aspect of your day, your next meeting, critical conversation you have to have with an employee, whatever it is, it all affects.
Yeah. And it becomes a habit, because habits are forming without our permission. They have, mm-hmm. they habit not to run. They habit if you work up and you pick up your phone and check your email. Well, that habit is now stuck because you'll find yourself more throughout the day checking emails. Same thing with social media. If you check the first 8 minutes, what you do that first 8 minutes will set the tone for the rest of the day, right? Proven by psychologists and doctors. So if it's that you're scrolling through social media, you'll realize every hour there's a desire, there's a need to check social media or check your email, and then you're not productive.
Absolutely.
So what if you were intentional about it? Let me go run. Yeah. Let me get the serotonin flowing. Let me get the blood flow going. Let me prime myself for more energy and more clarity too. Cause I mean, exercising just gives you such a clarity. You can tackle anything after you exercise or after a run.
You really can. It's such a tremendous sense of accomplishment at the end of it to say, gosh, I did that, mm-hmm. right? Like I got up so early and I got all that done and I'm like sweaty now and I just feel great.
Yep. The rest of the world is still rolling out of bed.
Right?
You do feel very accomplished. Erin, tell us, how can we connect with you? How can we connect with Calm Waters?
Yeah. So we... I would encourage people to follow us on social media. It's a great way to just kind of stay on top of amazing stories of lives changed about, you know, topics of grief and loss. And so we're on Facebook and Instagram primarily. Calm Waters OK is our handle. And then I encourage people to visit our website, calmwaters.org. We have resources on that on our website as well. And then on a personal level, if, you know, listeners are a working mama, a leader, a female that just needs encouragement and inspiration when it comes to, again, leadership and business, it's nutrition and health, about parenting. I would love for them to follow me as well. I have a Facebook page for my business, Beauty in the Busyness is what it's called. So people can find me on Facebook there or on Instagram. My handle is Erin Engelke. So we just love to connect with the folks that listen to you. And again, just to provide hope, because life is short and there's just too much that happens for us to not, to live a fulfilled life and one that is the best parts of all of us.
Well put. Erin, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, all right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.